Shut up!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are it. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
This says John Schneider made a panic trade. 253. John Schneider made a panic trade. He had FOMO. I hate that we gave up a third-round pick for Hal. Well, they did get a fourth-round back. But yeah, I'm with you. I think they gave up a little too much. FOMO, huh? Fear of missing out. I get FOMO, man. You get FOMO?
Wasn't that one of your things about Seattle as a whole?
Seattle has FOMO.
Yeah,
Seattle's a FOMO city. Like, yeah. Oh my God, I got to go to that concert. I've got to go. Well, are you going to make me rap that again? I think I've done that once already. I'm done.
I don't know what I'm doing back here.
I get
a lot of reaction to your rapping.
I know. Very, very polarizing, my scenario rapping earlier. Yeah, no, I get FOMO, man. I was texting with my buddies the other day, and they're like, oh, I think we might go to Vegas. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'd rather do this, I'd rather do that. And they're like, well, when do you think we'd go? Like, Friday to Saturday, or Friday to Sunday, Thursday to Sunday. And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I'd probably go for a shorter amount of time. But then I started thinking about the FOMO element of the fact that my friends could all be hanging out without me. I was like, I'll probably be there first on Thursday, last on Sunday. Like, yeah. Idea of them hanging out without me is too much for me to bear. The FOMO gets me every time.
It happened while we were in spring training when you got angry that your group of friends had a side text chat that you weren't on.
And now
FOMO
I hate it. All I want is off this stupid thread. I hate being on it. I feel tortured by the whole thing. All right.
You got on that thread with the threat of if you didn't get Wordle in three, you'd get kicked off.
I know.
And
I got it in two.
Like the second day.
But I got it in two. I thought it was like a good sign for me on that thread.
Like the second day and you're still on it, huh?
I know. I got lucky.
Last night we went to see one of the greatest movies of all time.
Quote unquote.
And created quite a bit of FOMO for my friends who didn't know about it. Yesterday was Rad Day.
Yeah.
The movie Rad came out on March 21st, 1986, so they re-released it one day in theaters. So I'm sorry if you missed it last night, but wow, that movie still is terrible, but it's so good, and you should rewatch it.
Well, Maura put together a little which is better for today. Maura, let's hear what we've got.
Sorry, I stepped on your toes here.
No, you're good. This is great. I usually do which is better, but I was excited that you did it. Types of questions.
Fire sells mine, but Brock's put together fire sells mine.
All right, you want to ask him today?
Sure.
All right.
March Madness or college football playoffs?
March Madness.
Okay.
That's quick. Okay.
March Madness is better. You know why? Because it doesn't take place 2.5 months after the season ends. The teams that are playing played last week, and then they keep playing. That's the way it's supposed to be. They don't wait until, like, you know, people have, like, you know, graduated, gotten married, had kids, built a house, had a dog, and then finally they play the playoffs from that season.
And the championship is what, April, first week in April? April 8th?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it should be. March Madness, better than the college football playoffs, for sure.
I'm just not a basketball that heavy into it. But I do. Here's what I love is watching a game and being able to pick a side where you feel like everyone is totally neutral yet united on one team.
Yeah.
And you get that so much more with basketball than I think you do with football.
There's definitely more of a chance for an underdog upset, I think, in March
Madness.
There's so much more momentum.
You can just show up and start watching a game randomly in March Madness and it'll turn out to be a ton of fun.
And you get much more personality in basketball, so you can latch onto the kid that looks like he's an insurance salesman and like looks 30 at 21. And you can see their faces because they're not wearing helmets. I like, March Madness.
All right. We convinced you.
All right, next. Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
So I'm so glad you put this one on the list. This is actually the reason I wanted to do which is better today, because I've been thinking about this a lot. And I've got what I think is a very serious answer, and I hate to split hairs on this. In general, on a sandwich, just to like eat by itself, the answer is very clearly chunky or crunchy peanut butter. It's not close. It blows away the competition. If you're making a PB&J and you're not doing it with chunky peanut butter, you're missing out essentially on what makes that sandwich great. So I don't even think that's close. But, and I want to throw an enormous caveat in here, because as I said, I've been thinking about this a lot. There is one situation in which creamy peanut butter is definitively better than chunky.
Only one.
Creamy's the right word. I was trying to think of it last night. I was like, smooth?
Yeah, it could be smooth, but it's creamy.
When used with bananas.
Creamy versus either chunky or crunchy. No, as it turns out, banana and chunky is actually pretty good together.
Okay.
It's with apples.
Only time creamy is better.
As it turns out, creamy peanut butter is significantly better with apples.
What about with celery?
nothing is good with celery. It is the devil's disgusting way of trying to
trick.
Bring us to hell. Disgusting. Raw celery is possibly the most disgusting thing on earth.
Can I tell you about a new food hack I learned is cooking noodles and putting crunchy peanut butter in them.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Turns out
I'm telling you, apples need creamy peanut butter.
Okay.
Justin? And celery needs to be banned.
I just can't find a use for creamy peanut butter in my life at all.
Do you like apples?
I love apples.
You should try it with apples.
Also great because every time I get the caramel covered apples,
yep.
I always get the one with the nuts on it. Therefore, nuts and apples go together just fine. Therefore, crunchy
not
peanut
good.
Butter.
Not as good.
Perfect with apples.
There you go. Fine.
There you go.
If so facto, carry the one. I'm right.
If so facto.
All right, which is better, going to Ludacris with G or going on G's Vancouver birthday trip? Justin gets to do both.
Justin's the only one who can answer.
Yeah, pretty sure. Well, it's also my birthday trip, so I'm pretty biased on this. Going out of the country with G.
Okay.
No language barrier. That could be really fun in the future if we get to travel with G.
Sad.
It could be. We'll see.
Yeah, more and I don't know anything about it.
He has not sent me the itinerary yet, so I don't know what exactly I'm invited on any of the actual group function stuff. Yeah.
See, I think going to Ludacris with G is better because I don't want to have an itinerary.
Well, I don't have to follow it. He just said I'll send you the itinerary. You guys can dip in and dip out when you want.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I would say the best thing about Luda with G over Vancouver with G is the lack of commitment. It's just a very short thing. It's only in Tacoma.
So and he's not staying in G's room.
And he's probably not going to stay for the whole thing. 10-1, G bails.
Who knows more lyrics, you or G?
G. You. Yeah. Mora. Mora knows
Mora
the most.
Probably knows more.
Mora knows the most little lyrics.
I love Luda.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, which is better, MLB opening day or the first Sunday of the NFL season?
Yeah, it's opening day. It really is. And that's not a shot of football. Football's great, but unfortunately, for those of us who truly love the summer and hate the cold weather, the problem is that the start of football season is bittersweet. It comes with the knowledge that fall is in the air, that it's starting to get crisp out, that winter is coming, that the summer is ending. As much as I love the beginning of football season, it's a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
It's a like Big Head Todd and the Monsters.
It's like this.
Just a little bit bittersweet.
It's the morning of the last day of your full day of vacation.
That's right.
You're like, we still got a whole day.
But
tomorrow I have to pack.
You need the weather to change so that you can be okay just sitting on your couch an entire day every Sunday.
I don't need the weather to change. I lived in Los Angeles for 8-9 years, and it was just fine watching football in the nice weather. Trust me.
All right,
it was
just
fine.
As a big
opening day is
fantasy
amazing.
Football fan, start of the NFL season.
There's nothing. Opening day should be a national holiday. It's awesome. I love opening day.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I don't even need to answer. It's opening day.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
Great, which is better, Maura.
Thank you.
That was fun today. Thank you. Opening day in March usually means pouring rain in Seattle. No, oddly, opening day has often had really good weather here.
Pretty good luck. And I know this because, again, opening day has been so close to my birthday every year that I end up using that as my excuse to go out for a birthday party, which I don't do.
Right.
And the weather's been great on so many of them that I feel good about it.
What kind of peanut butter do you eat? Like, what brand of peanut butter do you go after?
Honestly, I don't think I have any in the house, but if I do, I buy the expensive Justin's one just because it's my name.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were sort of destined to go Justin's. Have you had their, like, peanut butter cups?
Yes, I've had more than I think the extra peanut
butter.
Pretty
good.
I started also getting the one that you have to stir that's got the oil on the top.
Yeah, I'm out
of it.
On the stir. Mm. The problem with the stir is like it's always so oily afterwards, I find.
Yeah.
It's too oily.
Yeah, peanut butter.
Yeah, I don't need it to be
It can
oily.
Be messy. I get Trader Joe's. I've been doing almond butter a lot lately. I've been doing apples and almond butter.
Trader Joe's has a good almond butter. I'm with you on that. We're a Santa Cruz family now. We've gone entirely to Santa Cruz peanut butter.
Really good juices. Have you got the CJ's pickles yet that are in the refrigerated section?
Not yet.
Not the Sonoma ones.
No, I've got to be done with the stupid Nally pickles that
Nally's.
I have. Nally's.
Yeah,
they're terrible. They're awful. I got to get rid of that. The boobies you told me to get were terrible. They tasted like garbage.
You got to keep going on those. Those tasted rotten.
I'm out on that.
They're fermented.
Yeah, they're awful. I'm totally thank you.
Get some Oregon. Oregon Brine Works next, then.
All right. I don't know. Your recommendations to me are now like a little sketchy after you recommended the boobies.
Sorry, my pickle palate is more advanced.
That's okay. No kidding. I don't think anybody doubts that, but now I'm suspicious moving forward. All right. Coming up, we're going to have open phone lines in 20 minutes to start thinking about something you would like to say here on this show. Before we do it, we'll give you guys everything you need to know, including a quick celebration of the Cougs. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. up first.
What a great night for the Cougs and all of their fans. It's been a rough go here over the last couple of years, and obviously with the Pac-12 going away and all the problems ahead of Washington State, last night was a really cool moment, even if it's the last great one. Hopefully not, but wow, pretty darn special for them to go to the tournament for the first time in forever, knock off Drake in Omaha. Isaiah Watts, big time shot when they really needed it most.
But the wing players are not looking to make a play.
Good! Isaiah Watts!
Yeah, that was the shot that put them up for good. They never trailed again after that corner three. And 2 minutes later, it was all said and done.
4 seconds left. Washington State, for the first time since 2008, has won an NCAA tournament game as they knock off Drake 66-61.
Yes, a great moment, as I said, for the Cougs and all of their fans. Gonzaga ready to play. They blew the doors off of McNeese State last night. They win by 19. So Wazoo takes on Iowa State tomorrow, and the Zags will be against Kansas. Big upset yesterday. Oakland, 14 seed, beats Kentucky. Jack Golke with 10 three-pointers in that one. That's just one off the record. And then the women get going today. LSU's this afternoon. Caitlin Clark and Iowa will play tomorrow.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
It's been the summer, or the spring rather, of Cal Raleigh just hitting dingers. He had another one yesterday.
The set. And the 0-2 on the way to Cal. Swinging a drive deep to right center field. Going back, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Line shot onto the berm in right center. Cal Raleigh with his fourth home run of the spring. And it's now the Mariners 3 and the Reds 2.
Yeah, line shots, tank jobs, big flies, you name it. Cal has done it all this spring. Really, their entire roster has, or at least all the regulars. They played what was pretty much their opening day lineup yesterday. Looked like this. JP Julio Polanco, then Garver, Cal, and Haniger. Rayleigh batted seventh. Dylan Moore played first yesterday in for Ty France, who was with his wife, who's scheduled to give birth shortly. And then Josh Rojas batted ninth. My guess is that's probably pretty close to what the opening day lineup will be. We'll see whether it's Rayleigh or Canzone, but other than that, I'm guessing that's what we see on opening day. And then, you know, what will the Rojas Urias look like, that combination at third base? My gut tells me we'll see more Rojas early just because of the trust factor, and then over time, matchups and performance will probably influence it even more. Ryan Bliss with another home run yesterday. He's had a pretty good spring.
Yeah, he did. Ryan's had a good camp. You know, he can do some things offensively. Still a few things to work on, but he's versatile. You know, he's handled what we've thrown at him there, but he does, for a little guy, he does have some bat speed. He can put a charge in one once in a while.
It's true. Little guy with some bat speed and the ability to run around the bases. My guess is when Scott says he's got some stuff to work on, he's talking about his defense and sort of the overall part of the game. But yeah, kind of a fun prospect to have at AAA. Hopefully can help the team at some point this season.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Still waiting on more news on the Shohei Ohtani and his translator story. They're on their way back from Seoul, South Korea, so my guess is going to be a little bit of time before things start to move there, but we're certainly following it. Great conversation yesterday with Tisha Thompson, ESPN investigative reporter who broke this story. If you missed any of it, go find that, the podcast page at seattlesports.com. She clarified, said on Thursday, a source close to Ohtani gave an explanation for why the storylines have changed. According to that source, as Ohtani's handlers tried to determine what had happened, they initially relied solely on Mizuhara, who continued to translate for Ohtani. When asked Wednesday if he'd ever interpreted anything incorrectly on purpose, Mizuhara told ESPN, "No, I have never done that." Well, I mean, if he says so, then obviously we are all going to believe him, given that he's just been a rock of truth throughout this story. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. Yeah, good quote from John Morosi, who was on with Wyman and Bob yesterday.
It's impossible to say. We are at the outset of a very, very big story, right, about where all this leads. And I think that it's our, you know, our responsibility to withhold judgment on some level to everybody involved here. Because the one thing I guess I would say as well, when you pull back a little bit, MLB at this point in time is not actively investigating this.
They're not. maybe that's because the federal authorities could be. I don't know. At some point, we're going to have to hear from Major League Baseball. We haven't really yet. That's everything you need to know for the last time this week. Yes, we'll get back to that on Monday. But it's that time of the week. Time to open it up for you guys. What do you guys want to talk about today? We have not taken a lot of calls this week. So what do you guys want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Shohei Ohtani and what you think is going on with that story? Because it is like the ultimate water cooler deal. If you heard Tisha Thompson with us yesterday, we spent a lot of time on it. What do you make of what's going on there? You want to talk Mariners? What did you make of seeing basically their entire lineup other than Ty France all together last night, really for the first time? What does that look like? What do you think it will play out once the season begins? What's got you feeling good or bad or positive or negative about this team? I asked last night and again today, if this team has success this year, will it be because of the nucleus or will it be more because of what happens on the periphery of those six players that I say are probably your core? Julio, Cal, JP, and then your first three starting pitchers. Seahawks, man, what are they doing? Why haven't they gone with anybody longer than a three-year deal? Why has it been mostly players along the kind of margins? Do they think enough of their core and their coaching staff that they think that they're just going to kind of cruise right to being better than they've been? Or is this going to be kind of a step-back year for them? 866-979-3776, the phone number, 866-979-3776. That's just a couple of thought starters. Anybody want to talk about what the heck is wrong with the Kraken? Because something is. And I've now started to see a lot more reports of folks saying, hey, the management of this team, Ron Francis and Dave Hakstol, all right, maybe they're going to make it through this year, but next year going to be under the gun. There's going to be a lot of pressure on that group to do a lot more next year than they did this year because you can't lose fan interest. So what's wrong with the Kraken? So that's a Seahawks conversation. That's Kraken conversation. Shohei Ohtani, Major League Baseball, Mariners heading into the start of the season on Thursday. It's all there for you. What do you guys want to talk about? 866-979-3776. You want to talk Cougs? You want to talk NCAA tournament? You want to talk about what you saw last night? You want to talk about Troy Dannon leaving UW and why this keeps happening at the University of Washington? Man, you guys get to control the show, so let's hear from you. 866-979-3776. Your call's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
I think we got the weirdest ranked we've ever done coming up at 9:45, 15 minutes from now. This is definitely a strange one, but we'll do it. It should be fun. We'll do that in 15 minutes. It's a weird Friday. It's Brock and Salk. Seattle Sports on 710CLSports.com. The phone lines are open. So this is one of those days, right? Brady Henderson was in on Wednesday, or maybe that was yesterday. Was that yesterday? God, it feels like forever ago. Brady was in yesterday saying that this was his favorite time of the sports calendar because of everything that's going on. And yeah, I get it. So a good reason that you guys can control the show. If you want to talk NFL, Seahawks, you want to talk Mariners, you want to talk Huskies and what's going on with that program. You want to talk about college hoops. You want, it's all there, man. Whatever it is you guys want to talk about. 866-979-3776. The phone number. I got a bunch of people on hold here. I got one line open, so if you want to jump in, now is your chance. Let's start off with line one. We'll go right down the list. Ethan's in Yakima. What's going on, Ethan?
Hey, Mike. Hey, I 100% agree with the Julio take that he didn't have a bad season, but it wasn't the best. It's easy to look at the numbers and see, oh, he had a great season, but the path to those numbers, 100%, it was not consistent. So with him having a more consistent season, hopefully at the beginning of the year, and then lead that into playoff time, and then JP, Cal, Ty France, if they are consistent as well, that nucleus, man, we have a very, very good shot at going deep in the playoffs.
Let me just ask you this. Off the top of your head right now today, knowing nothing about how any of those guys are going to play this year, not knowing health, not knowing anything, how many wins do you think the Mariners have this year? They've won 90, 90, and 88 their last three seasons. How many wins do the Mariners have this year?
I'm thinking, I keep seeing projections about 86. I think it is going to be around 88, 89.
So you think they're right basically exactly what they've been?
No. I just think the division is going to get a lot closer. And I think those wins will it will be closer in the games we play Texas and Houston.
Right, that makes sense. So you think, so if I understand you right, the team will be a little bit better, but because the division's so tough, they won't necessarily improve by a whole lot in terms of their win-loss record. It's a good point. Thanks for the phone call, man. I think that is a very real possibility. Texas coming off a World Series win. Houston going to be loaded for bear after falling short last year. Yeah, I think there's something to it. I'm not sold, as you know, on Texas. I'm not sold, although they've got some young dudes coming that I think are going to be such difference makers. Evan Carter's good. Langford, if he's what he's supposed to be, could really kind of push them into another stratosphere. But Houston didn't do a lot this offseason. Definitely curious to see what the Astros look like and whether or not this is the year that that starts to fall apart for them a little bit. 866-979-3776. Go down the list here. Scott's in Redmond. Good morning, Scott. What's on your mind?
Good morning. How is everybody?
Great.
Well, since everybody's going to get something, I'm kind of curious about the University of Washington stuff. I'm kind of glad that Brock brought up his brother's name. That'd be a good fit. I kind of wonder, is there something going on with the regents, the Board of Regent guys, and the president or something, that why everybody's running out of here? I mean, Cohen stayed for 7 years. And we haven't had a good AD since Barbara Hedges left. I mean, she was here for a while. But,
you don't think Jen Cohen was a good AD?
No, I did. She made some good hires and stuff. You know, I'm still, you know, Mike Hopkins, he had a first couple good years. Look, we haven't had 2 years of what the Huskies have done back-to-back and ever. You know, those last two seasons for the football team was incredible. And if you think about it, we could have had that wide receiver down there for the Rams, Puka. He was in that class. He's supposed to be here. And so is the linebacker from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
They're both supposed to be on the team. So that 2019 recruiting team.
I think those are good questions, Scott. I don't know that I know the answer to what's going on. I mean, again, I think that there is some of it that's individual to each of the people that have left. Right. Jen Cohen left for a specific job at USC. I think this Troy Dannon left specifically to go back to the Midwest. I can believe some of that stuff. You know, are there 100 jobs that Kalen DeBoer would have left for? No. But is Alabama one of them? Yeah. So, I mean, in some ways, those three all left for very specific jobs that make sense. But there's no doubt when you look at it as a whole, it paints a pretty ugly picture. And G will tell you that a lot of that just has to do with money and investment in the program. And, you know, kind of looking at this area, looking at this region and wondering whether or not there's going to be as much investment in the NIL and all the investment that it takes, all the money it takes to recruit college kids these days. I got to assume that's part of it. I don't know. 866-979-3776. Let's keep going. Greg's in Cali. What's up, Greg? Good morning.
Hey, Mike, everybody. Thanks for taking my call. Just love your show and can't wait to hear Weird Ranked. You've got my attention there.
It's a weird one. It is definitely one of the stranger ones we've done. There's no music. There's no sound. Except for that. Yeah, that's the only music.
I love the music ranks, but that's just me. I appreciate them. But okay, I wanted to jump into the Mariners. I'm pretty optimistic. I think I get what they're doing, although I don't get this imaginary salary cap that really, really bothers me as a fan, but I'm not, that's a totally different topic.
Yep.
I just want to ask you guys, like, I know how I feel about this. You know, I get they're trying to cut down on strikeouts. So you dump Teoscar, fine, good riddance. He drove out to right field in a clown car and pitched under a circus tent. See you later. No thanks. He was a feast or famine hitter. But Gino, that bothers me, because how much better would you feel about this lineup if we had our guy at third base hitting, I don't know, seventh in the lineup? Wouldn't you just feel a whole heck of a lot about better, especially with his clubhouse presence and his defense? Wouldn't you just feel better about this team if we had just dumped Teoscar but kept Gino?
Probably. But they wouldn't have been able to do a lot of the other things they did if they had done that. I mean, just sort of knowing what their budget was, you know, they wouldn't have had Mitch Garver if they had done that.
But that's to back to my point, this imaginary salary cap. You got to understand, I'm calling from Southern California and Dodgerland here,
right,
watching them throw money around. And I'm just like, why couldn't we have just spent, well, I don't know, 10, 12 million, whatever it was on Gino?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Just out of curiosity, who do you think had a better OPS last year, Teoscar or Eugenio Suarez?
Well, the way you're framing the question, I'm going to guess. You know, however,
it was Teo for the record. But
who had a better clutch gene? And watching the games, it seemed to me like
last year,
we needed a hit late in the inning.
Last year, about the same, I would say. It was maybe Teo. Teo had more home runs. He had a better season. I don't know. I get your argument. I understand
Suarez
the point.
Suarez brings the defense, though.
He did bring certainly better defense than Teo did in right field. But, look, imaginary salary cap or not, it is what it is, man. Like, if we want to have the conversation every time, we can. I think it gets boring. Yeah. The RSN thing does appear to be real. The Mariners aren't the only team in baseball that is cutting back or not spending more than they were. That does seem to be a problem throughout the game. There are a handful of cities, LA, San Francisco, among them, that seem to be immune to it, at least for right now. But clearly the economics of the game are changing in some way. Does that make it okay? No. Does it make me any less frustrated? Not really. Would it be nice if the Mariners could have kept Gino Suarez and also done those things? Yes, but that's not the way it went down. And we can keep beating our head against the wall and being mad about it, and I am. Or we can also say, all right, well, Jerry Dipoto was given a budget, just like every team is. It's not the budget I want him to have. I would like him to have another $25, $35, $50 million in that budget. But he doesn't. He has what he has. And given that, do I understand why he made the Gino deal? Yes. Do I wish he'd made a Gino deal the year before? Yes. Mm. I do. Jerry waited a year too long to trade Gino Suarez. He should have done it a year earlier. And if you got Jerry, I would guess in a totally honest moment with truth serum, he would agree with that. He should have traded him at the top of his value. That's what the Rays would have done. Right? The guy's in his 30s. Right? Like they're probably the years ahead of him are not as good as the years behind him. The value was high. I understand that he's a club. And by the way, people would have screamed bloody murder, and for good reason if he had done it. But that is sometimes the cold, hard, you know, unfeeling way to actually continue to improve
and
your team.
He probably, and I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth here, I don't want to be careful about that, probably thought he would be able to afford to keep him. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Because it sounds like from what we were told, the budget did change.
Yes, and that's the part that is just such a killer. Such a killer.
Pretty hard to swallow.
Such a killer. Totally agree. 866-979-3776. Let me go to Bill in Yakima. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're good.
I just want to know what you guys think about the Cougars' chances of making it to, like, the Elite Eight. I think everybody's overlooking them.
Yeah? What do you think their chances are?
I think 60-40.
Okay. I mean, that'd be pretty good. I mean, you got to beat Iowa State, right, who's a number two seed and a pretty good team from what I understand. I don't know that I'm the person to break down these matchups. It's not like I've watched Iowa State play and understand, like, what these two teams are going to look like when they play each other. But if the Cougs can play their game, which sure appears to be physical inside, right, using those four forwards and kind of finding ways to use their athleticism and physical strength inside, which is kind of an awkward play for a lot of NCAA teams. Yeah, if they can impose their will and play their kind of game, man, what a fun ride that would be, especially just given where the program is going and the end of the Pac-12 and knowing that they get paid for every tournament win a Pac-12 team has this year. Every time they win, they're bringing more money into the program. I love that story. I think that's a pretty fun part of the
whole
thing.
I really hope they can make a run.
That'd be awesome.
Of last night, DraftKings has Iowa State as an 8-point favorite.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to take a little
much bigger favorite than Drake was coming into that game last night, which was just a slight
favorite. All right, let's go to Cam in Yakima as well. Cam, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
First off, I'm not usually up this early, so excuse my voice.
Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it? Who the heck wants to be up this early? It's awful.
And you get up way earlier than I
know.
Do. As far
We've
as
been up for almost 6 hours now.
Long.
Dear Lord, is that true?
Well, don't make me feel bad.
It's time to go back to sleep.
I listen to you guys about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right, so what's on your mind?
For the podcast. Well, it's the M's, and longtime fan of the M's, and I mean, like most people, just livid when they said they weren't going to expand payroll. Because I was looking at last year's team and saying, yeah, like everybody said, one more bat and they're golden. But I have a good feeling about this year. And here's why. My whole life, they defy expectations. They were expected to go into the World Series last year, mm-hmm. and they just came up short. But I have a great feeling with the lower expectations, they are just going to shine. And I'm calling for 93 wins.
Wow, that'd be pretty awesome. Really,
yeah, I was tempted to go 95 because you know how much everybody loves 95.
Yes, I've heard that some things happen that year. Yeah.
I seem to remember that.
I've heard once or twice that it was a pretty good season here in Seattle. Look, there is something to this team defying expectations. They have not seemed to play very well when the expectations are high, and they have seemed to befuddle people when they are not expected to be as good this year. Maybe it's sort of in between. So, hey, it's as good a reason as any. I'll take it. Let me see if I can grab one more before ranked. Chris is in Kentucky, of all places. Chris, I would imagine everyone there is mourning what happened yesterday against Oakland, but good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I do not bleed UK blue. I'm a purple and gold guy.
Okay.
It's very distraught here. Everybody describes Calipari with four or five explicatives before and after his name.
Wow.
So they're struggling. Bluegrass. I need to redeem myself from last week. I have a normative statement for you. If Mitch Haniger plays 135 games, are we in September discussing top five MVP voting?
Wow. I mean, that'd be interesting. He would have to have one heck of a bounce back year. I mean, again, he really did not have a very good year last year. Even when he was healthy, he didn't play very well. The numbers were, you know, not good. Does that mean it's going to be the case again this year? No. I mean, I think we know that Mitch has had a lot of success, certainly in this ballpark, and obviously he's had an unbelievable spring. And if he hits the way he has this spring, he'll be tremendous. I mean, the projections for Mitch, 15 home runs, less than 50 RBI, that's probably not going to be an MVP or even top five MVP kind of a season. Yeah. At age 33, it would be pretty impressive if he all of a sudden had that kind of a breakout. But that shouldn't minimize what a healthy Mitch Haniger could do for this team in terms of his leadership, in terms of his clutch hitting, in terms of, just what he does to change and turn the lineup over and lengthen it. Absolutely. If we can get Mitch Haniger back, not the guy that played last year. I mean, Mitch Haniger last year had a 631 OPS. He really struggled. 209 batting average. He only hit six home runs. He did not have a good season at all. But if you can get the Mitch who played here in 2022 and hit 250-ish and had a 735 OPS, or the guy from the year before that was over 800, well, yeah, that would obviously be a complete game changer for this lineup and would certainly lengthen the whole thing. Good calls, fun calls, mostly Mariner calls, but fun to hear from you guys on all sorts of topics. That is Open Phone Lines, and this is Ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
So this morning, we were discussing Justin's weird predilection, I would say, for wanting to eat the best part of something first rather than last.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a pleasure delayer in general. I like to delay it. Whatever is the best thing on my plate, I want to save it to last.
I mean, you can save the last. You can save a bite for last. But like, if I want to eat the best part that I'm paying for, that's hot out of the kitchen or wherever you're ordering it from.
Pleasure delayer. Will you eat McDonald's fries in the bag on your way home?
Absolutely.
Disgusting. You disgust me.
Absolutely.
That's when they're the best.
I don't think there's a way that around. I don't know how you possibly cannot touch a McDonald's fry on the way home.
Pleasure delayer.
Incredible. So you just let them get cold?
They don't get cold. They're fine.
They're not the same.
Pleasure delayer. I like to delay it. I want to like eat it all at the end and be just like, so excited. Like the longer I can wait, the better it's going to be. Anyway, it brought us to a discussion of Pop-Tarts, pizza, crust. And so we thought we would rank crust. Crusts ranked.
A lot of good crust, man.
Yeah, and then we're not going to go with like Krusty the Clown, all you Simpsons fans out there. The crust of the earth.
Hey, hey!
There he is. Yes, Krusty the Clown.
I figured there'd be some kind of crustacean joke.
Crustaceans?
Yeah. Crustaceans for sure.
I like a good crustacean.
I mean, everybody's screaming at me who's going to the Supercross this weekend. Krusty Demons of Dirt, Justin. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Hello. Top five? For sure, top three crusts.
So I've been thinking about crusts throughout the morning, and I do have a top five ranking. Let me give you some that did not crack the top five. The two lowest on my list, probably the worst crust, And I say this because it's in comparison to the rest of the bread, is the banana bread crust. I don't want anything to interfere with the moist banana bread and everything else, like flavor of the banana bread.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the crust can do that. Now,
but it's like kind of barely there. Like sandwich slice bread, the crust really stands out.
Now,
like
I do,
you hardly notice it on
I want to tell you that there is an exception to this rule. And that is if somebody, and they do this in Hawaii a lot, has created like a sugary topping for the banana bread and put it like a streusel and put it on top of the banana bread. And if you're considering that crust, obviously that would change.
So if I'm, this is the way I'm imagining you set this ranked out.
Yeah.
A giant crust, a crust cootery board.
Yes.
You're saying banana would be one of the ones you would skip.
Yeah, because
the banana bread crust you're skipping.
Yeah, because it doesn't really have that banana bread taste. Okay. I'd be very disappointed with it.
Wow.
Obviously, right there with it is just sandwich bread, white, wheat, rye, you know, just a loaf of bread that you buy at the grocery store. Crust is fine. I don't need to cut it off like a child, but like, does anybody prefer that crust? Like, it's fine.
That's why Uncrustables exist.
Right. And that's, by the way, you're just being a child. Like, grow up. Eat the crust.
I mean, unless you are making something that, like a grilled cheese, that the crust makes it hard to cook with. Like, it burns, then you cut it off. Like, if you're using, like, a brioche for a grilled cheese, you want to get rid of that.
That's different, obviously, Justin. That's for cooking purposes. That's not because you're an eight-year-old.
What about Texas toast crust?
Texas toast's pretty good.
That's not worth the crust.
That's a good crust. That's an honorable mention, I would say. Pie crust, honorable mention. Doesn't quite crack the top five. It's good.
Ooh.
I like pie crust, but it can be dry. It's very inconsistent. And if it's on the crust cootery board, I don't know whether I trust it in order certainly to eat it by itself.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah, pie crust not making the top five. Well, how about that?
We got some psychopaths out here. 206 says McDonald's fries are trash.
Well, that's just absurd.
Oh, well, I got that wrong. McDonald's fries cold are trash. Thank you.
Yeah,
I agree. That's
cold.
Why you eat them out of the bag.
Yeah, I would never want a cold.
Eat them out of the bag.
Quite frankly, that's why I like to eat at McDonald's. I don't even like to take it home. I like eating at the McDonald's on the gross. I like eating on the gross plastic tables.
Thank you.
I got no problems with that.
The nostalgia for that. Sam.
Yeah, I'm into that.
It smells the same.
I'm totally into that. Everything tastes better. Their Coke tastes better.
Yep, it's their own. Their ketchup's way better.
Now, this will be controversial. And if Howdy were here, he'd probably walk out because this would be his number one of ones. But Moore is right. Stuffed crust is too much. It's too much. You don't need it in the pizza.
It's making crust fun and good and worth what to eat.
It's too much.
Bring the cheese that's baked into the crust.
Yeah.
Pizza's already, like,
great.
Greasy and cheesy. You don't need that extra level.
It's too much. It's too much.
Man.
You're messing with the original for no good reason. Don't mess with the original in that case.
I mean, the best is really the pizza pan crust.
I know
that
how
had the
Hut
favorite seasoning on it. That was like the bread crust seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then not a big fan of Papa John's, but they do have that garlic butter, like herb dipping sauce.
Yeah, that's good.
That makes the crust more enjoyable.
Where is it? The pizza place in Roslyn.
Across from the Brick?
Yes. They have great pizza, by the way.
Yeah,
and they do
place.
Honey for their crust. That's a good idea as well. I like that. I do like that.
Yep. Big fan.
Okay. You ready to keep going here?
Are we still in honorable mentions?
Just the last honorable mention, Justin. I'm sorry.
Don't do it to me.
I know. I'm sorry. The sourdough.
Oh!
It's really good, and it creates a great bowl, but it doesn't... It's
so
number
versatile.
Six. It's number six.
The sourdough bread crust...
If we had room, I would try to get it in. But no.
Village pizza. Village pizza, by the way, is what you're thinking of.
A village pizza.
Village pizza.
Really
sourdough.
Doesn't make it. It's very close. Very, very close.
Fine.
Big sourdough's upset.
Number five, pizza crust. Just straight up normal pizza crust.
It's frozen pizza?
No, I'm talking pizza, not things that children eat. Justin.
So
come
Neapolitan,
on.
Like, I mean, it's something
just
that's so thin.
Like New York pizza.
New York pizza
just
crust.
Regular pizza.
Okay, New York pizza crust.
Yeah. That's the standard.
Okay.
Just pizza crust. It's good.
Okay.
Top five. I like pizza crust. I got no problems eating it. I think I'd like that flavor. Like,
are we
no
saying
problems.
There's no other pizza or no other pizza in the top five? Or in the...
There's one other.
Okay.
But just straight up normal, regular pizza crust, number five.
Okay. Do you eat it dry or do you have to dip it in marinara?
Don't need to do anything. Just eat it. I like it.
Justin's got so many questions. We're not going to get through this.
And then
list.
I eat all
Sorry,
of Heather's and I eat my kids. I'll eat the whole.
It's a lot. Go.
Number four, surprise entry into the top five, focaccia bread. You like a good focaccia bread? It's all oily at the top. The crust of it is amazing.
It gets just so pizza adjacent to me that it is pizza adjacent. Ahead of
That's
it.
Why they're right next to each other. Ah. But focaccia, I think, actually takes it just over pizza. That's number four. Number three, mac and cheese. If you can get broiled. A good crust on top of the mac and cheese, okay. Number three on my
like
list.
Like people that do some kind of breadcrumb
yes.
topping or something?
Yes, okay. Like a breadcrumb crust on top yeah. of the mac and cheese.
It's good.
Get the cheese bakes into it. I love that.
Somebody wants to know if pot pie crust is in here. I don't think it probably
No, it was already with pie. Yeah. Sorry. Number two, Detroit pizza. Specifically because of the cheese and the way it gets baked into the corners. Man, you get that good Detroit pizza. Gosh, that is right there. But it is the best of the pizza crusts for sure. Is that 100%. What you were hoping
yep,
for, Justin?
I didn't want to ruin it. It's not debatable.
People wondering where you put in croutons. Unfortunately, not a crust.
It was perhaps a crust at one point.
Yeah, but now a salad topper. Calzone, it's good. It's just pizza crust, though. Sorry.
I do like a calzone.
That's good. I like a calzone. It's fine.
Okay.
Number one. Any graham cracker crust, whether it's cheesecake or key lime pie or whatever you've chosen to put onto it, graham cracker
cheesecake,
crust.
Cheesecake, I always love one that has like a lot of graham cracker crust. Yeah, darn I prefer the ratio to be like half-half.
Thank you.
The more and key lime pie is the same way, man. Put a whole bunch of graham cracker crust on that sucker. Mm. So there you go. That is that is today's kind of weird ranked. I'm sorry, Justin. I'm sorry that sourdough
deserves better. And we're in such sourdough country, too. It's like we get the best.
So sorry.
Between us and San Francisco.
It's tough.
We've had some requests for Matt Chazanow's call of the three-pointer we've been playing from the Cougs last night.
Yeah, so we're going to send out with some positive vibes for the Cougs for this weekend.
Okay, let's finish up with that. Let's hear it. How did it sound?
They feed it right for Watts. Let's a three fly. He hit it! Isaiah Watts, right wing! 1:46 to play! Cougs up two! Here in Omaha, 61-59! Timeout, Bulldogs! 98 seconds left!
Oh, man. The pretty voice crack. That's how you know it's good. All right, have a great weekend. Go Cougs, everybody. Bump and Stacy up next. We'll catch you guys Monday morning, 6 a.m. Until then, the hay is in the barn. See everybody.
Get to the chopper!
Justin.